Thank you for spending your Tuesday, the 20th of March, with KHSU and with Art Waves. I'm Wendy Butler, and I've got two interviews on today's program. Later we'll hear from EHS Players, their latest, Shrek the Musical, which opens Friday night. First today, Eureka's Black Fawn Gallery presents Nesting Materials by Laura Corsilia. The exhibit is on display through March 31st. Laura is also a founder of the local nonprofit Bird Ally X. And this Thursday, March 22nd at 5:30 p.m. at the gallery, there'll be an artist talk titled Art and Wildness, given by the artist and also Monty Merrick of Bird Ally X. And Laura Corsilia is my guest in the studio. I want to ask you this. What does a nest represent for you?
I think about a nest in two ways that really kind of inform each other. One is the very literal, real nest made by a bird or even another animal. It's a kind of survival world, and there's urgency to it and intention and effort and skill to build it and make it even a very simple nest like a snowy plover in a little scrape. They choose it or they make it, you know, deliberately. But much more elaborate nests as well. But all nests have in common this making a place for the future and the next generation and making sure it's right and is going to work. And just the intensity of care that it represents is really powerful, I think. And then also, that's extremely literal, biological, real, you know, imperative about a nest. And then there's also this quality that a nest carries ideas and is a really intense metaphor for our imagination in terms of transformation and, you know, like a kind of a crucible in alchemy or just a way of imagining life transforming or events or, you know, a nest is a place where something is growing and if all goes well, fledges from.
I was wondering what came first for you, the art making or your obvious love of birds?
Oh, that's a great question. I have made drawings as my primary activity my whole life. So I would have to say as activity first, but birds and other animals have always been present in my work and really at the forefront of my interest. Even before I became involved in the direct care of wild animals, animals were present as active beings in my concept of the world.
Did you grow up locally or here in Humboldt County, or I'm just want to get a sense of place for you?
Well, I've been up and down the west coast of North America quite a bit, but I grew up in northern British Columbia in Canada, so close to the southern tip of Alaska, but on the British Columbia side.
Did you grow up in a place that was very rural?
It was in the forest. It was a small village, Gitlektaimix, in the Nass Valley, in the, you know, the giant cedar and hemlock, you know, forests of northern BC. So a place that has influenced me very much.
Obviously, yeah. That's why I wanted to ask you that, because it's very, from the way you're talking and also looking at your work, you can tell that wildness and that the colorfulness. And of course, the fact that this exhibit is titled Nesting Materials and the way you speak about what a nest represents. Yeah, so what came first was the place, and you didn't even know it, and then it was part of your drawing.
Well, in terms of drawing, the process of drawing mm-hmm. for me is very much like dreaming. Mm-hmm. Not illustrating a dream, but as in entering a space where things are happening and where they're happening all the time in a way. Like, it's not, you know, it's not a narrative where this happens after that, you know, in a conventional way. But I think of drawing as sort of making a habitat for something alive to happen. And I think that's very much, well, that comes to mind too when you suggested the place comes first. It's sort of making a somewhere. And then if we're lucky, somebody will alight there and come to be there and live there. And I think my main interest, if I could boil it down to something as simple as a few words, would be that drawings are alive. That's where ideas about wild animals or wildness come together for me with drawing, and the process of art making is, you know, a sort of basic respect for the aliveness of someone who's in front of you, whether that's a swallow or a being that lives on paper and is made of ink and paper, which is typically macerated trees or pieces of cotton that have been turned. So the physicality of the materials is part of it, and the, you know, what has made the pigment and stuff. And basically, I'm an animist, and that sort of explains it all, or doesn't explain it all.
And in your exhibition, you have not only paintings and drawings, you have a video installation, and you're titling it Ephemeral Monument.
It's hard to describe in words something that you have to see and watch and listen to, of course, but I wanted the Ephemeral Monument is made of variable materials. It contains sort of sail-like forms that sort of like sails,
like
a little bit.
Like a sail on a boat?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it contains panels that are painted and that kind of fly up into space a little bit, and also, you know, sort of modifying the space and the shape of where your eyes can go. And also a projected video aspect that travels through this environment.
What environment?
The environment, not enclosed, but sort of built by these sail-like panels.
So it's not a video, say, a video of a forest or something like that?
No. The video is made of drawings, and it's not an animation, but it's moving drawings that travel inside forms created by painted space. So it's a very much a physical place that's part of what this video is projecting within. Each piece in the exhibition offers itself as not exactly a window, but possibly a tunnel. So it's an invitation. But also the elements in the work want to come out. So it's both an invitation to enter a world and also a request to enter your eyes and go out and see through them.
I like that. No, I like that. I mean, it meaning you, meaning the exhibit going into us and through our eyes and seeing out of our eyes as well.
I find work that I love and that inspires me, just kind of everything that I see and that becomes part of my mind helps me see more. It's almost like when you begin to learn about watching birds, for instance, the more you look and the more you learn about birds, the more birds, the more they show themselves to you. It's almost like we can aggregate lenses in our psyche that can help us be in the world. But the whole exhibition, I would like to be considered the way everything's installed to be a kind of nest, so that visitors are invited to use it to grow in any way that they would like to.
Now, you are a founder of Bird Ally X. Your art, I'm thinking, also illustrates your very real concern for birds and other wildlife as well, and their connection to us humans.
Yeah, I think I'm really interested in what is real and what is alive. And from a description like that, if you hadn't seen images of my work, you might think they were photographic or sort of, you know, more scientifically descriptive or something, but that doesn't really describe the work either. It's, you know, it's drawings that often combine, you know, really physical brushstrokes and numerous small patterns and line drawings that are interested in scale, so sometimes huge and sometimes nearly miniature.
Laura Corsiglia, nesting materials on display through March 31st at Black Fawn Gallery, 212 G Street in Eureka. This Thursday, March 22nd at 5:30 p.m. at the gallery. Laura, joined by her partner, Monty Merrick, of Bird Ally X, will give an artist talk titled Art and Wildness. And this will include a discussion of the Nesting Materials exhibition and also a screening of the short film, The Bird Ally, an extra related to the documentary film, Pelican Dreams, which was directed by Judy Irving, who you might also recall directed The Wild Parrots of Telegraph Hill. Black Fawn Gallery is open Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and by appointment. For more information about the Black Fawn Gallery, you can visit blackfawnart.com or you can phone 798-6207. I'm Wendy Butler, and you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. Up next, Shrek the Musical. Based on the 2001 Oscar-winning DreamWorks animation film, the Tony Award-winning musical features songs from Janine Tesori and a book by David Lindsay Abair. It's the latest offering from the Eureka High School Players, and it opens this Friday, March 23rd at 7:30 p.m. in the Eureka High School Auditorium. My guests are three of the players. Senior Jordan Tierney, who plays Shrek. Sophomore Claire Endert, who is Fiona. And freshman Sylvie Benson, who is Donkey. Let's talk about your characters. I actually want to start with Fiona. So Claire, you are playing the role of Fiona. Please tell us about your character.
Yes, Fiona is definitely not your average princess. She has lived in a tower by herself. She's been isolated her entire life for 20 years. And all she wants is to find true love. That's her main goal in life, is to find love. However, she's extremely insecure and awkward because when she was a little girl, a witch cast a spell on her. So every night when the sun comes down, she is an ogre for the night. But during daytime, she's regular human princess Fiona. So that's something that she's really ashamed of. So the story is goes, if she finds her true love and kisses her true love, then it'll break the curse and she'll be human forever. So that's, you know, that's her main goal in life, is to just find love and, you know, marry a prince so she can be, quote unquote, beautiful.
It's too bad that the listeners couldn't see your face when you said, quote unquote, beautiful. Now, the character doesn't sound like she's allowed a lot of funny lines, or is she?
Yeah, definitely more towards after she meets Shrek, I mean, spoiler alert, but
well, no, I know she needs. I think we get that from the
Her goofy side definitely comes out more when she actually talks to someone after, you know, not talking to anyone for 20 years. More towards the beginning, she's definitely more stubborn and tries to be picture perfect princess. But then as she, you know, gets to know Shrek and Donkey and gets more comfortable with them, like her true self comes out more. So yeah, she's, it's a mix of both.
It sounds very human, the characteristics, the shyness, the insecurity.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Now Shrek is, I just get the impression that Shrek is inherently funny. I think he has a really good sense of humor. But he's very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You speak about this, Jordan.
So Shrek does have some very funny lines in the show. I think he has some of the funniest lines in the show, personally. but he really has lived a very lonely life. He, like Fiona, was sent away from home when he was 7. And his parting words from his parents were, "There's a big, bright, beautiful world out there, but not for you. Because you're an ogre, and ogres don't get to live lives like that."
If his parents were, I'm sorry to break in, but I'm thinking, are his parents also ogres?
Yes, his parents are ogres. But, and
they sent him away.
They send him away saying, you know, ogres, this is what we live like. This is what you have to do. This is how you have to live your life. And so he grows up, you know, thinking these things to be true in the mindset of, oh, you know, I have to be an ogre. I have to live on a swamp. I can't live near any people or have any friends. And so it's really a shocking moment for him when he meets characters like Donkey and Fiona, and he starts to form these bonds. And it's very confusing for him because these are really the first two people he's ever had extended interactions with and who haven't wanted to like burn him at the stake. So he goes through a lot of internal and external struggles trying to figure out what he can be and what he wants to be.
That's interesting. Just from the way you have described Shrek and the way Claire described Fiona, I am seeing isolation in both. And then I'm thinking about Donkey. Okay, so Sylvie, has Donkey's life also been comparable to that of Fiona and Shrek?
Well, Donkey, I think, also does struggle with loneliness. When he meets Shrek, he's kind of desperate for Shrek to let him go along. Shrek is not eager to help Donkey out, but something I really like about Donkey is his persistence. He's very persistent and positive, and though Shrek really does try to push him away, Donkey keeps going and sees the good in Shrek that very few people do, I think. And Fiona eventually also comes around.
Does Fiona see the good in Donkey or the good in Shrek or both?
I'd say she sees both at first. She's like, what even is Donkey? I mean, it's a Tonky Donkey. She's kind of confused, but she's just happy that she was rescued. And then when Shrek reveals that he's like an ogre, Fiona's frustrated. She's upset. She's like, you're not supposed to be an ogre. This isn't how the story goes. You're supposed to be a prince. You're supposed to be my true love. You're not supposed to be an ogre. And then, you know, like I said, as she gets to know him more, she's like, oh, well, maybe they're okay. They're not what I had imagined, but they're someone, you know. So I think as she gets to know Shrek and Donkey more, she definitely likes them a lot more.
Yeah, Fiona really doesn't make the best impression on Shrek and Donkey from the beginning.
No.
But she wins Donkey over pretty fast when she offers him a daisy chain. Donkey's pleased by simple things.
That's very true.
Now, I have to know, your first exposure to Shrek, did all of you at some point in your younger lives or perhaps even recently see the film Shrek?
Yes. Yep, all four movies.
Oh, there were four?
Yeah, there are four Shrek movies.
The musical is based off the first one.
Right,
right.
And it's actually interesting because I was never a big Shrek fan when I was little. I had seen some of the movies. I don't ever think that I saw the first one, though. So when I, you know, first heard about the musical, I was like, well, what's the story about? And then they were like, oh, it's based off the first movie. And I was like, well, I've never seen the movie. And then I fell in love with the musical before I fell in love with the movie. And it's actually funny because today we watched the movie in my English class, just like as a coincidence. Like, no one knew that we were doing the musical. I mean, people knew that we were doing the musical, but like, they didn't really think about it.
How different is the musical from the movie?
You know, actually, I was paying attention today. It's a lot of the same dialogue. That's the exact same story. Mm-hmm. The only differences are there's singing and dancing. It's a musical. So there's songs that are in the show that aren't in the movie. And there are parts in the movie that aren't in the show. Mm-hmm. So it's really similar, though. Like, a lot of the same dialogue, lines, everything.
But I do think that the musical gives a lot more character development to Shrek and Fiona and Donkey that we don't really get to see fully explored in the movie.
I think it makes you understand better why Shrek is so cold because of all the things he's been through.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because in the movie, he's just kind of like a goofy ogre. And then at the end, he gets the girl. But in the musical, it shows his like true feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
What's a song highlight for each of you? Starting with Jordan, a song you sing, or it might be a song somebody else sings?
My favorite song in the show has got to be I Think I've Got You Beat, which is a duet with Shrek and Fiona, which happens recently after Shrek rescues her. And they are comparing their lives to each other and having kind of a contest to see who had the worst life. But then by the end of the song, they realize that they actually lived very similar childhoods and have similar struggles. And it becomes kind of a bonding experience for them. And it's the moment in the show where you get to see the love aspect start to come into play between Shrek and Fiona.
Is this a slow song or fast-paced song?
It's pretty fast-paced at first, and then it gets a bit slower once they're all like, oh, we're really similar. It gets a bit slower. And then there's a part where they have a fart and belch duel.
Well, Donkey looks absolutely disgusted.
Yeah, and that's another bonding moment in that song. They're both ogre goofballs that are gross.
Well, how about you, Sylvie? What's a song highlight for you?
I really love Who I'd Be, which ends the first act. It's Donkey talks to Shrek about his goals of being one of those horses who works the crusade circuit and is all regal and the noble steed he's always wanted to be. And then he asks Shrek who, if he could choose, who he'd want to be. And it takes a little prodding, but eventually he gets Shrek to open up to him for the first time. And Shrek talks about how if he could be something else, maybe he'd be a hero or a poet or someone who has control over his own story. And I just think it's a really beautiful moment at the end where it turns out being a trio between Shrek, Donkey, and Fiona. And I just think it's a really special moment.
How about you, Fiona? Claire.
That's hard. Fiona is she's a hefty sing, a lot of belting. I'd say that this character is the highest songs I've ever had to sing in my whole life, which is amazing because they're so fun to sing. I love both of the songs that Jordan and Sylvie just talked about. I really, there's two that I'm conflicted between. One is This Is How a Dream Comes True, which is when Shrek saves Fiona and she's talking about how the scene is supposed to go. She's like, this is how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to get down on one knee and, you know, we're supposed to kiss. And this is how the stories say that it's supposed to be. And Shrek just doesn't care. He's like, no, we need to get out of here. There's a dragon. We're going to die. I'm trying to save you. Let's go. And the whole song, Fiona's getting really frustrated with him because she's like, no, this isn't how the book says it's supposed to be. Because she, like, her whole life, she's read all these storybooks about how her life is supposed to be. Anyways, but by the end of the song, she gets rescued. Yay. And then there's a big belt at the end, and it's just so satisfying to just like hit the note and you're standing there and you just feel really like accomplished. And that's a really fun one.
In the final couple of minutes, starting with you, Sylvie, highlight. Pick a right now a highlight of putting this show together for you?
Well, I think that moment, Who I'd Be, why I like that song so much, just that moment at the end with all three of us singing in three-part harmony, just kind of staring off into the theater with kind of hopes for a brighter future. It's a very special moment.
It gives you chills.
It's magical.
I would have to say that my highlight would be just working every day with so many fantastic people. This is my last show as a Eureka High School player. And so it's just been super fun to work with, you know, Claire and Sylvie and everyone else in the cast. And I've just had a blast. I know that's kind of like saying everything is my highlight, but it kind of is.
Yeah. And Claire?
You know, I've been in love with this musical since I was in fifth grade. And Fiona has been one of my dream roles for a very long time. And I do have proof of that. to get to play one of my dream roles that I've loved for so long is really, really special. And then to perform alongside two amazing, like, talented people, Jordan and Sylvie, and just the whole cast in general is amazing. It's just the, like Jordan said, the whole thing is just overwhelming and just so fun. And it's just a fun show, and come see it.
Claire and Dirt. Also here have been Sylvie Benson and Jordan Tierney. EHS Players production of Shrek the Musical this Friday, March 23rd, Saturday the 24th, also March 29th, 30th, and 31st. Showtime, 7:30 p.m. for all of those performances. And there's going to be one matinee performance at 2 p.m. this Sunday, March 25th. Tickets are at the door, and you can phone 476-1735 for more information. And that's it for today's program. Please join me again Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. And you can also listen to Art Waves anytime online at khsu.org. And Art Waves podcasts are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening.